Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you now? You think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? You think they really ready for you now? You think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking, Chris, shrinking. Nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like no sheikins and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride bands and say MC for hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folks' face. Then you got them rappers with that cold broke face. They toured around the world, then they going no place. My KRS One moves at his own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop fronting.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking me, I say impeccable. Running circles around these intellectuals. What a spectacle. They get mad when I say I and God are identical. You better get on your knees and praise them. These conspiracy theory rappers, I'll blaze them too. Ooh. Deja vu, you seen this all before me, slaying your crew. I'm known by all the kids. I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did. People don't stop calling Chris for gigs. Cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid. Me getting booed? Shit. I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? There'll be many of you now. Do you really think they're ready for you now? Do you think they're really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they're ready for you now? Revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame. But the airwaves is a shame, and the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we're insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see by the dawn early? Twilight, let's gleam.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4. I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring with the harmony. Oh, let our rejoicing rise high. Loud as the orgia.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our home ownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as 20 bucks a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
No! 1960 who, 1960 what, 1960 who, 19... Hey, the Motor City is burning. That ain't right. 1960 what, 1960 who, 1960 what, 1960 who, 19... Hey, the Motor City is burning, y'all. That ain't right. There was a man, voice of a people, standing on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel. Shots rang out. Yes, it was a gun. He was the only one to fall down, y'all. That ain't right. Then his people scream, ain't no need for sunlight. Ain't no need for moonlight. Ain't no need for street light. 'Cause it's burning real bright. Some folks say we gon' fight. 'Cause this here thing just ain't right. 1960 what? 1960 who? 1960 what? 1960 who? 19. Hey, the Motor City is burning, y'all. In his hand, y'all. Mr. Policeman thought it was a gun, thought it was a one. Shot him down, y'all. That ain't right. Then his mama screamed, ain't no need for sunlight. Ain't no need for moonlight. Ain't no need for street light. Just burning real bright. Some folks say we gon' fight. 'Cause this here thing just ain't right. 1960 what? 1960 who? 1960 what? 1960 who? 19. Hey, the Motor City's burning. Break out the mind.
Reverend Jesse Jackson says he's very sorry for remarks he made about Senator Barack Obama. Jackson made the comments after an interview with Fox News, and he says he simply didn't realize his microphone was on at the time. A videotaped portion of his remarks shows Jackson telling another guest that Barack Obama was, quote, talking down to black people. Speaking to CNN's Don Lemon on the Situation Room, Reverend Jackson said his comments were taken out of context.
Broader conversation about urban policy and racial disparities, and I feel very distressed because I'm so supportive of this campaign and what the center has done and is doing. I was in a conversation with a fellow guest at Fox on Sunday. He asked about Barack's speeches lately at the black churches. I said it can come off as speaking down to black people. The moral message must be a much broader message. Oh, what we need really is racial justice and urban policy and jobs and health care. There's a range of issues on the menu. And frankly, I think that is his basic urban policy position. No one has just put one together except him in this situation. And then I said something I felt regret for the crew, but it was very private and very much a soundbite in a live mic. And so I feel...
Winners, everyone must play fair. All you beginners know that you got to start somewhere.
Just like to feel clean again? In Chicago and surrounding areas, Unique Towel Cleaning Service is the best cleaning service. We do basic cleaning and super cleaning, offices and apartment buildings. We will even clean your barber shop, your beauty shop, your spa or restaurant's towels and aprons. Call Unique Towel Cleaning Service at 773-484-5027. Ask us about our very special offer for our new clients. Call us at 773-484-5027 today and feel clean again.
Hello, this is Prentice L. Allison, founder and president of SPSI, Service Perfect Solutions Incorporated, a network of financial service professionals teaching people how to use life insurance and annuities to retain more of their income and pay the least tax on it. Our toll-free number is 877-902-9048. We are proud to have serviced more than 500 clients, national and international, from ages 0 to 99 for the past 30 years. My tip to you today is, if you are a business owner with at least one employee, including yourself, it would behoove you to get business life insurance. Why? Thank you for asking. 7 points I want to leave with you. Your premiums are tax deductible. Your policy bills cash tax deferred. Your cash reserve inside the policy is yours to use tax free. The policy will replace your income if death occurred prematurely. The company will pay the premiums if you become disabled. The policy will return all premiums to you when you retire. Last but not least, make sure your agent is well experienced in business life insurance. Stay tuned for more tips on how to use life insurance and annuities to help yourself today and protect your family and business tomorrow. This is Prentice L. Allison, president of SPSI. Toll-free number is 877-902-9048. I wish you well, and to God be the glory.
Does your insurance company work for you? Hi, this is Ken Robinson, President and CEO of Ken Robinson & Associates Limited. We are an insurance brokerage firm located at 5963 West Madison Street, Chicago, Illinois. Our phone number is 773-626-0883. We make the insurance experience easier by shopping for you, saving you time and money. Our agency features the best insurance products, giving you the most competitive prices. We insure needs for less, featuring life, health, annuities, homeowners, auto, SR22, bond cards, business owners policies, general contractors liability, and vacant buildings. Now, we also offer coverages most major insurance companies no longer offer. Please call for a free quote at 773-626-0883.
Attention business owners, radio show producers, and internet radio producers. It's time to crank it up for 2012 with quality radio production. Are you a record label needing hot album promos or EPKs for your new artists? Introducing CoolVoiceRadio.com. Does your internet show need a new intro or outro? How about a promo for your upcoming event? Are you a DJ needing a hot voice for your next hot mixtape? Imagine increased sales in your business from an internet radio spot. We've got you covered with broadcast quality radio spot production with the nation's top voiceover talent, featuring talent like John Heath, Kate Clifford, Bill Thomas, and much, much more. Visit us online at www.coolvoiceradio.com. Coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800. Remember, nothing beats the right sound.
Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. has been sentenced to 2.5 years in prison. Earlier this year, the son of civil rights leader Jesse Jackson pleaded guilty to using $750,000 in campaign funds to buy personal items. He told a federal judge in Washington that he misled the American people. Court papers say Jackson used the money to buy a Rolex, household appliances, and dinners out, to some of over 3,100 personal expenses on the list. Jackson's wife, Sandra, a former Chicago alderman, pleaded guilty to filing false federal tax returns and was sentenced to 1 year. Prosecutors say she spent the money on items including fur capes and parkas. Prosecutors sought less than maximum sentences for both Jacksons, recognizing that they have young children. Matt Friedman, Associated Press.
One, two, one, two. Again, one, two, three, four.
Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife show up in federal court today, crying, weeping, blubbering into the handkerchiefs. And all the tears that they shed couldn't put those stuffed elk heads back on the wall, and they couldn't put the $750,000 back. He received 30 months. She got a year in prison, 12 months, for stealing $750,000. Are you kidding me? Try stealing $7,000 from a bank. See what happens. Try stealing $2,000 from a gas station. See what happens. You're not going to be able to pick your prison. There won't be all that nonsense. When there's no money left, when people are out of work, when the debt on the state and on the city crushes us, and the federal government, you got to think of these elected officials. Their private conduct informs their public work. Okay? So if you can't tell the difference, if you went to law school, Mr. Jackson, she passed the bar. He's been in politics all his life. She's been in politics. Are you telling me that you didn't know that what you were doing was wrong?
Three four seven eight three 9825. Sorry for the long delay. Was in a meeting with the MLK Oz, the Martin Luther King Republicans, and we're trying to come up with a 2014 strategy here. And we're trying to get our candidates running. You see here in Illinois, the Democratic Party with their black war committeemen couldn't even get a black slate of qualified candidates to run for countywide office or statewide office. As usual, we only got one black statewide candidate, and that's Jesse White. One. Did they endorse Dorothy Brown? I don't even think they endorsed Dorothy Brown. I'll look at that again. Because Dorothy Brown's black and she's a clerk, but I don't think they endorsed her. Well, they endorsed Tony Pratwinkle. So what I'm saying is that the Democratic Party know that the African Americans are going to come out in droves and vote for them, but they're not only just, they call it diverse. I don't call it diverse. I call it lack of power, lack of authority. Dwindling. I wish I had enough candidates to fill those slates and challenge those individuals. We ain't. The qualified candidates we got, you know, it's their first time running. most of them are nervous about being pigeonholed at the time because they're Republican, even though they're standing strong on the GOP tip, closet GOPers. Sometimes people understand that, you know, when a war goes on, and this is a war for black empowerment in this country, then you got to go ahead and lay yourself down on the line. It's a shame that what happened to Jesse Jackson Jr. You see, for those outside of the Chicagoland area, see, Trey J, as we call him here, Jesse Jackson Jr., came in and just eradicated black authority and took it upon himself to be the voice of black America in Chicago. He even installed a lot of legislators. Unbeknownst to them, that he's working for the federal government, wearing wires and entrapping individuals. Our whole black congressional delegation are now under investigation. Matter of fact, our mayor's under investigation for having his controller indicted by the feds. You know, I just find it funny. Yeah, so I was beating that Jesse Jackson story in. And I played a couple more cuts because I don't know if y'all tuned in yesterday. Some people just tuned in on Wednesday, some people tuned in on Tuesday. For those who just missed it yesterday, let me give you the recap on JJJ. I ain't going to beat it like I did yesterday, but I'm just playing on how the news media all around the world showed it. And that's the point I'm coming at. I'm not trying to beat the guy in the head, but here we go.
Jesse Jackson Jr., of course, was a congressman out of Illinois, and he got busted for misappropriating campaign funds, got sentenced today, 2.5 years in prison, 3 years of probation after that, and he's going to have to pay back the $750,000 in campaign funds that he used on himself. Ouch. Now, what did he use these campaign funds for? This is unreal. Things such as Bruce Lee memorabilia. That's why you committed the crimes for? You what an idiot. A $43,000 Rolex watch and a mink cashmere cape? You bought a cape, you dumbass? And he's so dumb because I don't know if you know this, but bribery has been legalized in America. If you, all you got to do is vote for whatever the hell they want, they give you all the campaign donations you want, they give it to your nonprofit, they'll hire your wife, they'll give her a fake job, they'll give everybody in your family fake jobs. We've covered it in every single instance, whether it was Norm Coleman's wife, it's Orrin Hatch's son, it's a date, and then when you get out of office, they'll pay you millions of dollars. Bribery's been legalized, you dumbass! Why did you do it in the illegal way? This is the dumbest politician in America, you should go to jail for that. So, now, his wife was also taking part in this. I don't know if it was her or him that wanted the cape. She also got 1 year in prison. She's ordered to pay $22,000 in restitution. Now, the judge was merciful and said that they will not serve it at the same time so that they can take turns taking care of their kids. Now, all of a sudden, Jesse Jackson Jr. is a hero, so he says to the judge during sentencing, if probation is not available to her, give me her time. Yeah, that's not how it works, okay? You can't just come in and say, oh, she committed a crime, but can I serve a sentence? It's a BS way of trying to seem heroic at the last moment after he already took the money for his $43,000 Rolex. Why didn't you need a watch for $43,000? That's what you stole the money for? You didn't need it for your kids. You didn't need it for the education. You needed it for a gaudy, stupid-ass watch. And you're a U.S. congressman. They weren't going to notice your $43,000 watch. Can you get the sense that I think that this was a dumb move? Okay, now, finally, of course, as always, right before they go to jail, guess who they run into? Jesus of Nazareth. Quote, I still believe in the power of forgiveness. I believe in the power of redemption. Today I manned up and tried to accept responsibility for the error of my ways, and I still believe in the resurrection. Well, you'll have to wait 2.5 years for your resurrection because you're going to jail. Always with the Jesus talk. Where was Jesus when you were taking the money for your cape? Where was he then? How come you only run into him as you're about to go to jail? And he says, no, it's okay. I realize there are my ways. I wish you'd realize there are of your ways mid-robbery. That would have been more better for you, would have been better for the people whose funds you were misusing, etc. It's always convenient that after they've been caught and they're about to get sentenced, that they realize the error of their ways and they look for redemption from Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what Lord Jesus Christ would not have been interested in. An asshole who buys a $43,000 watch. You'd have been the first one he threw out of the temple. Well, now you get to think more about Jesus as you sit there in prison for 2.5 years. Enjoy.
Yeah, that's a little overlaid, but no, I got a lot of callers in, and yesterday in Texas, a lot of people, from Texas, like, you know, saying what's up with Detroit again. I'm going to do a show back on Detroit, you know. Someone said they accept the Detroit pension threat is attacking the people that serve the city well. And then there's another person that said to me about Detroit stray dog problem. And Detroit also has a stop and frisk. So next week, we're going to get that together. I'm going to see what my friends from Detroit have to say about that. I'm really tripping these Jacksons, y'all. You know. Full disclosure. Jesse Jackson dissed my mother. Here's this bipolar ass dude dissing my mama. Say he's going to retire her, put her in an old folks' physical home, all old folks go. Running around town spreading rumors that we was corrupt. They going to come from we corrupt. They even tried to manufacture a scandal with us in the theater. Try to seem like we was crooked, and his guy's a crook. Crazy ass dude running around town. I'm gonna build an airport. I'm gonna make a book of talk. Now he's going down, and he's taking the time. First, come on, man, how you gonna do that mental abuse to your woman, I mean, she has a shorter time. That gives you time to stay out and to make that money back that y'all took. You know what I'm saying? But is it that you want to get away because you're so embarrassed what people are saying? Is that it, man? You're ashamed? Scared to smile because they called you ugly? Take a break here. Type of homeless cat building. September 27th, Chicago. Don't forget everybody's Central State University, the Mighty March Marauders, and the Mighty Men of Morehouse Clash.
I'm building me a home.
I'm building me a home.
I'm building me a
home. I'm building me a home.
And the soul gotta have
and the soul my Lord somewhere to stay.
When you hear me praying, I'm building me a home.
When you hear me
praying, I'm building me a home,
my Lord.
And my soul got a hand,
and my soul
praise
got a
God,
hand
somewhere to stay. Through many dangers,
tall and stark,
I have already
come.
There's grace taught my heart to fear,
and I know it will lead me home.
When you hear me moaning, when you hear me moaning.
gonna soon decay. And my soul got a heaven, Lord, somewhere to stay. When you hear me shouting,
shouting, shouting,
I'm building me
up.
Hello, Common Sense Nation. I'm your host, the Junkyard Dog, E.T. Williams. Please visit the website at www.whateverhappenedtocommonsense.com. You know, I am really starting to be completely irritated with frauds like Al Sharpton. I don't know if you saw the latest of this so-called preacher. I don't know where he could have possibly got his doctorate degree from. I bet you he's not even a real reverend, probably an undercover sissy. But in his latest, allegiance, he does the Pledge of Allegiance, but he forgets to put God in the Pledge of Allegiance. He takes God out. Now we have over here with the Muslims speaking in Arab, saying a Pledge of Allegiance to Allah, and we have a Reverend Al Sharpton who drops under God while invoking the Pledge of Allegiance. In this new ad, lean forward, he must mean lean forward with Barack Hussein Obama. This phony reverend, I don't know who's the fakest out of this reverend and that phony Jesse Jackson. They're on this crusade, still thinking we're back at the back of the bus. They're on this crusade for the homosexual agenda because he and Barack Obama and Jesse Jackson all are nothing but a bunch of closet homosexuals. But he can say everything else he wants to say. You can get the Muslims to invoke Allah in Aramaic, but we got this phony reverend who won't even say one nation under God in this particular ad. And that's why I never had any respect for Al Sharpton. He is, I don't know who's worse than him and Jesse Jackson. I really don't. You know, Jesse Jackson thinks we can shoot airplanes out the sky. He's been invoking saying we need to be more tolerant towards homosexuals. And nobody is advocating violence towards homosexuals. But how are you going to read the Bible? You're supposed to be a reverend. How are you going to read the Bible and in a conscious way say that homosexuality is okay? He said he wants equal opportunity for homosexuals just as it was for black. This dumb Negro, Al Sharpton, a penitentiary pimp, he and Jesse Jackson, I mean, they should be locked up for impersonating leaders. I don't know how anyone tolerates these buffoons, these clowns. I mean, Jesse Jackson, this Don King wannabe, in his ad, won't say God. That is very offensive to me. You got a reverend. Won't he take reverend out of the front of his name and just say, I'm Al in the closet Sharpton. I'm Al down low Sharpton. I'm Barack Obama's calling card. It is fascinating that anybody listens to Al Sharpton. If you want to lose credibility with me real quick, if you give any credibility to Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, you can possibly be credible. He is one of the biggest frauds out there, this poverty pimp. He and Jesse Jackson been pimping Negroes for the longest, and here he is thinking we're going to give him some credibility because they do a commercial. If I was going to listen to Lean Forward, I wouldn't listen to it. Now you've got Al Sharpton on there refusing to even say God's name. That's phony. And how can any Christian, I've said it before, how can any Christian not only support that fraud in the White House, Barack Hussein Obama, a communist and God-hating communist at that. How can anyone be a Christian, call themselves a Christian, and support Barack Obama? And how can anybody call themselves a Christian and support Al Sharpton? I mean, you may as well just tear the Bible up if you're going to follow Al Sharpton, if you're going to have allegiance to Barack Obama or Jesse Jackson. These Nick Rose don't know the first thing about God. They wouldn't have a clue. If God ascended right now in downtown Washington, D.C., and like he did with Moses on the Mount, he could start invoking the Ten Commandments. He could read Leviticus. He can come back to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. He could read Romans, the 1st chapter, and quote to them how homosexuality does not line up with the Word of God. And these dumb Negroes would argue in the face of God. That's how incredible Al Sharpton is. I wish I just could hold him down and cut that phony process off his head.
Reverend Jesse Jackson says he's very sorry for remarks he made about Senator Barack Obama. Jackson made the comments after an interview with Fox News, and he says he simply didn't realize his microphone was on at the time. A videotaped portion of his remarks shows Jackson telling another guest that Barack Obama was, quote, talking down to black people. Speaking to CNN's Don Lemon on the Situation Room, Reverend Jackson said his comments were taken out of context.
Broader conversation about urban policy and racial disparities, and I feel very distressed because I'm so supportive of this campaign and what the center has done and is doing. I was in a conversation with a fellow guest at Fox on Sunday. He asked about Barack's speeches lately at the black churches. I said it can come off as speaking down to black people. The moral message must be a much broader message. Oh, what we need really is racial justice and urban policy and jobs and health care. There's a range of issues on the menu. And frankly, I think that is his basic urban policy position. No one else has put one together except him in this situation. And then I said something I felt regretfully crude, but it was very private and very much a soundbite in a live mic. And so I find no comfort in it, find no joy in it.
Reverend Jesse Jackson says,
I think Jesse Jackson's biggest player hater. His time is up. All you old niggas' time is up. We done heard his voice. We done saw you marching. We done heard your sermons. We don't want to hear that shit no more. It's a new day. It's a new voice. I'm here now. We don't need Jesse. I'm here.
Topping our political ticker right now, this is just coming into the Situation Room, a dramatic statement from Congressman Jesse Jackson, Jr., repudiating his father's crude remarks about Senator Barack Obama, remarks caught on an open microphone. In his statement, Congressman Jackson says, I'm deeply outraged and disappointed in Reverend Jackson's reckless statements about Senator Barack Obama, his divisive and demeaning comments about the presumptive Democratic nominee, and I believe the next president of the United States, contradict his inspiring and courageous career. He then goes on to say this, Reverend Jackson is my dad and I'll always love him. He should know how hard that I've worked for the last year and a half as a national co-chair of Barack Obama's presidential campaign. So I thoroughly reject and repudiate his ugly rhetoric. He should keep hope alive in any personal attacks and insults to himself. An extraordinary.
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Rising, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Rison offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Rison. Visit us online at phoenixrison.com.
Do you hear that sound? Well, that's the sound of back pain. Are you tired of nagging and persistent back pain? Whether you're suffering from a chronic condition or a recent injury, don't fret. Chiropractic has proven to be a natural and holistic alternative to pain medications and surgical procedures. Visit Dr. Todd Tucker at our Water Tower location on Chicago's Magnificent Mile for a free consultation and exam. Call 888-535-2381 to get started with your personalized treatment plan. That's 888-535-2381. Call now.
Was a boy very strange enchanted boy. Say he wonder very far, very far over land, and say little sigh and sad. As we spoke of many things, rules and kings, this he said to me, greatest thing you could ever learn. Thank you.
King Cole's greatest score, The Nature Boy. But anyway, I'm going to cut your nuts off, talking down on black people, and you wonder why your son's in trouble. Hey, do y'all remember the time when after he said that, Jesse Jackson, y'all probably don't remember that, but Google it. Jesse Jackson is in the stands with Barack Obama's getting the first inauguration and clapping, yeah, by himself. And that was funny, very awkward. And also awkward was the second inauguration when Bobby Rush made sure he got some photo op. And Bobby Rush was the first person to tell the world that Barack Obama was a half-breed intellectual wannabe from Chicago. You're in Chicago, don't know about the black community. He's the one to put that out there. As a matter of fact, let me pull up that first debate. Matter of fact, I'm going to play a lot of Bobby Rush's and Obama debates. And people, excuse me for the coughing, and people wonder why Obama can't get nothing done in Congress. We had all the black caucus voting for Hillary Clinton. Me and my homie fell out over Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton. I remember I told him, like, yo, man, Obama going to win it. You know, because I worked on this campaign here in the Senate. Jesse wasn't there. See, it kills me. People say Jesse Jackson was down with him when he ran for Senate. Nah. Emile Jones and the Tillman family. Let the truth be told. Obama knows the story. But anyway, dude told me I was stupid, dumb, don't know what I was talking about, yada, 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 yada. But anyway, let me go ahead and run this debate because Obama's on some. I'm taking all y'all out here in the shot. Y'all better pay attention.
Certainly one of the premier districts historically for black politics within the United States has produced leaders that have been both important in the Chicago area and nationally as well.
It starts off kind of low at first, but she gets up
this
in the middle.
This is Chicago Tonight, Monday, March 13th, 2000.
Two high-visibility challengers take on Congressman Bobby Rush. Good evening and welcome to Chicago Tonight. I'm Phil Ponce. Congressman Bobby Rush is in his fourth term representing Illinois' 1st Congressional District. But now he has two challengers, each of whom appears to have the name recognition, organization, and campaign war chest to pose a threat to Rush's serving term number 5. Tonight, the congressman tells us why he deserves to keep his job, and the lead challengers tell us why one of them should take his place. But first, Rich Samuels.
Hey, Daddy, that was a trick. That was a trick that Barack pulled at the Chatham Business Association. Remember?
The three major candidates hope to serve or continue serving a district that runs from 26th Street to 103rd along the lakefront. From Bronzeville, the district's northern edge but historic heart, comes Bobby Rush, former Black Panther, Chicago alderman, the incumbent, first elected in 1992. from Hyde Park, home of the University of Chicago, comes Barack Obama, a Harvard-trained U of C law professor and state senator, was first sent to Springfield in 1995. From Chatham, south and east, comes Donnie Trotter, a public health administrator who served in the Illinois House from 1988 to 1993 and in the Senate thereafter. That a Democrat will represent the first, that an African-American will represent the district, these are foregone conclusions. As a discussion on the government's role in health care reform at a weekend candidates forum illustrates, it's not ideology that separates the candidates.
I support universal health care coverage. I've been a strong advocate at the state level of universal health care.
I have been many times the lone voice in fighting for a universal health care system here in the state of Illinois.
The fight in the first centers around the vulnerabilities of the incumbent. Bobby Rush's loss to Richard M. Daley in last year's mayoral contest was, in fact, resounding. He won only 45% of the African-American vote.
It seems as though I have lost this election, but I want you to know that I don't consider myself a loser.
Rush now faces two strong challengers in a district that's truly special.
I think more than anything else, it's the history. It has one of the richest histories in American politics in the congressional district. It certainly is one of the premier districts historically for black politics within the United States, going back to DePriest and Dawson.
Oscar DePriest, elected in 1928, William Dawson, his successor, on to Ralph Metcalf, Harold Washington, Charles Hayes.
It has produced leaders that have been both important in the Chicago area and nationally as well.
Can Bobby Rush claim the medal for another term? Challengers are attempting to put their best images forward, likewise attempting to get the incumbent. Carver Tonight, this is Rich Samuels.
And now I'm joined by Congressman Bobby Rush of the 1st Congressional District, State Senator Barack Obama, and State Senator Donnie Trotter. And we should note there is a fourth candidate running in the Democratic primary. He is George Robey, a retired Chicago police officer. It was our judgment that viewers would benefit most from a discussion with the major candidates only, and I welcome you all to Chicago Tonight. Congressman Rush, in endorsing Senator Obama, the Chicago Tribune wrote of you that he touts experience and seniority, but his approach to problems has not produced many results. And the Daily Southtown, in endorsing Senator Obama, said of you, after four terms, we don't believe he has accomplished enough on behalf of his district. Respond to these statements that you've not been very productive.
Well, in both instances, I certainly think that those are probably some of the most misguided opinions that I've witnessed in the media, particularly as it relates to endorsements. My record is outstanding. My record is open for public inspection. I believe that the president certainly has endorsed me based on my record. I believe that the AFL-CIO has endorsed me based on my record. I believe that the 100 and plus African American ministers have endorsed me based on my record. I believe that Reverend Jesse Jackson endorsed me based on my record. I believe that over 125 women leaders in the 1st Congressional District based on endorsed me based on my record. My record, I brought back over $1.5 billion return. The tax monies of my constituents back to the district. I've helped create jobs, expand businesses, create businesses in the 1st Congressional District. I have an excellent record. Let me just tell you, Phil, one of the things that I'm most proud of is the $20 million that I've brought back in the last 2 years to wire public schools and libraries for the Internet so that our children will have access to computers. South Lakeshore Drive right now, it's improved based on the federal dollars that I brought back into the 1st Congressional District. South Lakeshore itself is being repaired right now. Construction crews, construction equipment, is there working based on federal dollars that I brought back into the 1st Congressional District. We have an empowerment zone in the 1st Congressional District that came with a $100 million grant from the federal government.
Congressman, I know you can go through a litany of your accomplishments, and I'm sure you would invite viewers to do that at your website. Senator Obama, let me pick up on the business of the record and look at something that was raised in Rich Samuels' introductory piece, and that is that the three of you basically, in example, about health care. What makes you different from the congressman and from Senator Trotter?
Well, one of the things that we talked about throughout this campaign is that I don't think there are a lot of ideological differences. I think all three of us are progressive urban Democrats. I think we share most views. We have some disagreements that have emerged over the couple of debates that all three of us have been at. You know, Congressman Rush is more hesitant about campaign finance reform. That's a high priority for me. You know, Senator Trotter, in discussions about taxes, has talked about flat taxes as a possibility. That's something that, you know, we may differ on. But for the most part, I think we agree ideologically. I think that the issue in this race really is leadership. As your introductory piece noted, this is a historic district. And the question for the voters in the 1st Congressional District is who can best articulate and frame the issues that are most important to voters in those in the district, and who can provide leadership to organize resources, both federal and state and municipal, at the local level to make a difference on issues that count, like education, health care, jobs, and economic development. And my assessment is that my experience, not only as a legislator, but also as a civil rights attorney, as a community organizer, gives me the leadership skills to provide to really make a difference in this race.
Senator Obama, how do you respond to the concern that you are raising so much money from outside the district that in your case you will be, quote, beholden to interests outside the district?
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is actually that we have raised about $400,000 in this race. Congressman Rush, I don't know exactly what he's raised, but I think he's indicated that he plans to raise about $600,000. 99% of our money comes from individuals as opposed to PACs. And approximately 40% of our money comes from individuals within the district. That's just itemized. In fact, we have probably more African-American contributors and small donors who live inside the district than any of the candidates involved. Now, it's true that I also have been able to raise money outside the district, in part because I've got relationships throughout this city. And I think that's actually a benefit, because I think that one of the things that we need in this office is somebody who's able to create coalitions and work across a wide spectrum of interests, and I think that's something I can provide.
Senator Trotter, getting back to the Tribune editorial that I quoted from earlier, of you, editorial said, Trotter has been a capable senator, but it seems telling that his political sponsor, Cook County Board President John Stroger, is supporting Rush. How strong is your base?
My base is very strong. What we know is 57% of the vote that comes out of the 1st Congressional District comes out of my legislative district. Through the past five elections that I've won in Illinois General Assembly, I go down there with the number one vote out of all the members that sit there. That's more than the Democrats, Republican, be it black or white. So we have a very strong base, and we're individuals who know the record and know the works that I've done and the works that I'm capable of doing. To say that I'm just capable in doing my job is very a thick understatement. I have done some miraculous things, I've done some phenomenal things, and on behalf of our community, and that is, as being the chief negotiator on the budget, I have brought back dollars to our community that's unprecedented. We have brought back $55 million for the South End of Lakeshore Drive, $500 million just to rebuild the Dan Ryan, $45 million for the university that sits in my district, Chicago State, Chicago State University, $3 million for the Salvador Museum. These are dollars in proportion to our $45 billion budget, which says that we are really bringing back those things that's going to enrich and enhance the lives of our community. You compare that to a $1.7 trillion budget that the United States has, there's no comparison that should be said.
Congressman, you mentioned some of the things that you've done. Is there one specific thing that you can point to that and tell the voters that this warrants my reelection? What is it that you went through the list, but is there one thing in particular that strikes you as compelling?
Let's talk about the Englewood leg of the Green Line. You know, had I not been the congressman from the 1st Congressional District, the CTA would have demolished that hill, that leg of the Green Line by now.
It would not be there.
Well,
you granted that?
I agree that he supported retaining the Green Line. I think that's fair to say.
I led the charge. I helped find the money, the federal dollars.
Can I also add, Englewood has been festering over there for almost 25, 30 years for 7 years that he's been in office. He's acting as if it was the city of Atlantis and just popped up this year that some action is actually being taken over there. He's had the ability and the resources and the friendships with the president that he could have been doing some very proactive things over there before Inglewood started festering into other communities. So there's great that now that you're discovering and bringing something to the table, the green line,
the South works.
We're bringing dollars to the green
line.
Look,
Senator, finish, Congressman. I'll get to you, sir.
Go ahead, Senator. We're bringing dollars to the green line, bringing dollars over there, and bringing Hastert through the community really hasn't really changed their quality of life. Right now, you've put finally some plans on the table, but we have not still at this point in time seen any kind of action that's being taken.
Well, Senator Trotter, I know that you're a wise man and you seem very astute on the issue, but let me ask you if you will respond to the fact that the U.S. Steel, the Softworks, which I believe is located in your district, it's been vacant. That land has been vacant for 25 years now, and you've been in the Congress, I mean, in the General State Senate for a number of years. That land has an enormous potential to help solve problems not only in the Inglewood community, but in the general South Side. I have never seen you forward a plan to do anything with that Southwest land, over there. And let me just tell you, the problem on the South Side in general, in terms of the joblessness and the lack of that economic power, is the fact that once that Southwest plant closed down, nothing replaced it. And so you had all those jobs leaving the South Side of the city of Chicago.
Let's not get back on Southworks. I mean, I know it's an important issue, but in the short time
it also was privately owned, and they wanted to sell the whole land, and there was a lot of remediation they had to go over there.
Yeah, your point is well taken. Let's move on to the next subject, please. And that is Senator Obama. One of the things that one looks at Congressman Rush's record and the things that he says, if there's a Democratic Congress that comes into power this November, he's in line maybe to get some important committee assignments, influence for the district.
Yeah, I was, I'm cut it off right there. It's like a three-part. That's part one. I got conservative author Charles Love on the line. I'm gonna bring him in a minute. But what I was playing was excerpts of Danny Davis, Barack Obama, Donnie Trotter. Donnie Trotter's right now is in trouble for this Mugabe in Zimbabwe thing with Bobby Rush and Danny Davis. Bobby Rush also was in trouble for this Metro scandal, you know, and Danny Trotter did just get off on that gun charge, and Jesse Jackson only got 30 months. Let me bring my guy up in here. What's going on, Brother Love? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah. All right. What's up? You before I do anything, you have a an event coming up. Much to my audience about the event, September, that's coming up.
Yeah, I'm doing a book signing over in North Center at Irvin Park in Hoyne from 1 to 4 on the 28th of September. Hope to see you there. You get your book signed. I couldn't catch up with you, so I dropped them in the mail to you. So you got to come out and have me sign them for you. We're going to do a discussion as well. So people are going to come out and talk about what we need in our communities and the direction of the country and differences between the real differences between Democrats and Republicans as opposed to all the misconceptions and all that kind of stuff. So it should be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to get a bunch of my black Republican friends to ride down on you.
Yeah,
I haven't talked to you
good.
Since
I actually think the numbers now, the Democrats outweigh the Republicans, so that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to see how it goes on. But I haven't talked to you since Jesse Jackson got indicted and arrested. What's your take on that situation?
Since the sentencing came down?
Yes.
I don't know.
That alliteration.
I listened to the news the day it came down, and I listened to all the people who said that they were glad and they wanted him to get the max, and I listened to all the people who said it was too tough and they wanted him to get less, and some people, I mean, 3 seconds after the sentence was read, we're already talking about petitioning Obama for a pardon for him. I guess I'm just, you know, being in Illinois and so many of our politicians being criminals, it's just like, you know, I was like, oh, whatever, they caught him, so he's going to jail. You know, it is what it is. I wasn't
really focused on whether
it was too much or not enough.
What do you think about the timing they gave, the sentencing thing that they gave him? Do you think that was fair?
I guess. I really didn't give it that much thought. I think the bigger issue is the fact that over the years, like when you look at my book, there's an appendix in the back that just lists all these politicians we have in Illinois who keep going to jail on a regular basis. So the bigger issue is not only is it wrong because they're robbing the constituents when they're supposed to be looking out for us while they're getting paid in tax dollar money, but the biggest issue is it happens, they get caught, it makes big news, they go to jail, the next guy always thinks he's smarter, it happens again, he goes to jail, and they say, well, we're going to be tough on them, we're going to make sure it doesn't happen again, and it happens again. Like you said, look at how many people are in trouble since Jesse, not since the sentence, because that's recent, but since he was indicted. I mean, it's probably, what, 3 or 4 people if you count the judge and all these other people. So it just continues to happen. That's the biggest issue. How much time they give when they're sentenced? I mean, we can go back and forth about whether that's right or wrong. One thing that you will find I thought was completely insane, and I know a lot of people's personal preferences or their, you know, looking at race or their political allegiance plays a part in what they believe a good sentence is. But I was listening to Cliff Kelly the night that he was sentenced, and people were calling in, and Cliff was obviously one who thought he got too much, which is fine if that's his view. But people were calling in and giving opinions. So one woman called in and said that I thought it was too much, and he showed up and he voted every time for, well, I think it was 13 years in a row, and that shows that he cared. And regardless of what was going on and what he may or may not have been doing, he must have cared about his community because he still voted. And I just think it's wrong that he got so many. And she started crying. I'm like, this is insane. Family and friends, maybe. This woman didn't even know him. The evidence, I mean, he admitted to it. He can't say he got caught up and he didn't do it because he said I was wrong. And he apologized. And she's crying.
Let me give you inside track. Those was paid consultants to sway the public. Now, if you listen to my yesterday's show, I went through a whole, how the whole world sees him. But let me give you John Cass. This is John Cass right here. This is his take on Jesse Jackson. Hold on, it's about a minute. Check it out.
So Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife show up in federal court today, crying, weeping, blubbering into the handkerchiefs. And all the tears that they shed couldn't put those stuffed elk heads back on the wall, and they couldn't put the $750,000 back. He received 30 months. She got a year in prison, 12 months, for stealing $750,000. Are you kidding me? Try stealing $7,000 from a bank. See what happens. Try stealing $2,000 from a gas station. See what happens. You're not going to be able to pick your prison. There won't be all that nonsense. When there's no money left, when people are out of work, when the debt on the state and on the city crushes us and the federal government, you got to think of these elected officials. Their private conduct informs their public work. Okay? So if you can't tell the difference, if you went to law school, Mr. Jackson, she passed the bar. He's been in politics all his life. She's been in politics. Are you telling me that you didn't know that what you were doing was wrong?
So this is where I'm coming from, Charles. There's a guy by the name of Derek Smith. He's a state rep. He got caught. Somebody came and gave him an envelope. Now, word on the street is that the Democratic organization set him up because the people who got him elected didn't want him elected, so they sent somebody to give an envelope. He took the envelope because the person got
$7,000 or something?
Yeah, in the envelope. Now, if Jesse got 30 months for $750,000. He should get a year for $7,000 or less, but not really. But not really, because the truth of the matter, and this is what people are not really looking at, Charles, Jesse Jackson, see, people need to go back when the Blago incident came out there and everybody was saying, it's you, it's you. Jesse made a statement. You can probably find it in the Ebony or Google Jesse's this statement right here. Jesse Jackson said he works for the federal government. You see, he's an informant. He's been in office for 15 years. Another 15 years, 13 years of those years, he's been informing on what's been going on in Chicago. Now, the problem with black Chicago, I'm not going to go on white Chicago. You know, Charlie, I'm straight up pro-black. And I'm quite sure you know that my conversation will be happening. We'll talk. You know? So I deal with black Chicago. Right. And so, the gentleman Jackson like to have those McCoys, but I'm going to go to the Second War. Now, historically, the Second War was the first African-American war when migrants from Mississippi came to Chicago. Chicago's Second War was the first war to have a black representation. The Second War, the first black alderman came from the Second War. The first black congressman in the North came from the Second War. The first black elected official came from the Second War, up in the North, too. So Jesse Jackson comes out, takes him out. Takes the black leadership out by Ferretti. You know, I got no hate on Ferretti because he's going to be a great mayor when he runs for mayor. But he put Bob Ferretti in there, kind of quote, you know, it's not about black, whites, what have you, but not recognizing the symbolism of what the Second War meant to African Americans, especially in the heart of Bronzeville, where he didn't care. What did he want to say about Taj Trojan, what have you, by backing opposition against, by backing, Forrest Claypool over Todd Stroger, another white man over Todd Stroger, showed his allegiance to in the black community, in the black square, you know, and it's all politics now, but that I'm down with this guy and skip Todd Stroger. Now, the Claypool Stroger is the reason why black Chicago is messed up. So let me give you a little history in the quick 27 minutes I got. When old man Stroger was running against Claypool, people like the Jacksons and the black Democratic establishment left Stroger. Stroger was a brokenhearted man. Stroger came to the Tillmans like, yo, Tillmans. Okay, really, yo, Dorothy. I can't believe all these people, all these years, all that stuff I did, now they push him to the side. You know? And then he started talking about why Chicago, which Cook County, which is true, had the best health care for poor people, not just, he didn't say blacks, he said poor people. And you can go anywhere in Cook County and get service. So with that said, Tim was like, you're right. So we rallied behind him. I can remember like it's yesterday. Had a little party for the man. Had everybody, we got the black machine out there. We got everybody who was on some black power stuff out there. We say we ride with Stroger. Now, Stroger knew at the time he wasn't really friendly with all the black power people that stood behind him. He was with the establishment that was trying to get rid of him. And the fact that he turned around and saw everybody that he was rolling against standing up with them kind of broke his heart, made him not broke his heart. Kind of the fact that the establishment was dissing him broke his heart, and the fact that we stood behind him was too much for him. He left that party that night, bam, had a heart attack. Boom. Everybody's tripping because the look on his face, the look on his face, like, you know, the joy, the happiness, because he, you know, it's like he's back. He's like, I'm back black. You know, I'm back black. And because everybody know he passed a lot of black laws for black people, but he's like, I'm back black. But anyway, he died that day, then AKA Rose put Todd Stroger in. Now, the deal on Todd Stroger, how the hell, see, the deal was like, this Todd Stroger, but it's not kill Todd Stroger, it's like how these black people feel that they can elect their black leaders. See, everybody look at Harold Washington as being a monumental turn in black politics, but people need to look at the election of Todd Stroger because that's when the black Democratic machine got broken. Because no one go with Forrest Claypool at that time. They elected Todd Stroger. And Todd Stroger was damn doomed from that moment on. The first day in the paper, they say this, who we think he is getting his own private elevator. The elevator was there before he got there. You know what I'm saying? But it runs down on him. Patronage. But you look at the Madigans, you look at the Daisy, you look at all the white patronage. But everybody turned on top. They said half a penny. How the hell?
half of Penny kept hospitals open and kept people hired. Tony Preckwinkle gets in there, take away the half of Penny. If everybody voted for her, now they're unemployed now because the half of Penny lost their jobs. There's no hospitals out in the south suburbs. There's no trauma centers now. You got Providence Hospital, they can't take people now. You got to only get one hospital. So you get shot on the south side, far south side, you're going to die. You get shot on the southeast side, you're going to die. You're going to die. Now, this ain't me like, no, it's being like, you know, overdramatic, but there's no hospitals that within a 100-mile radius. So you going to, I mean, look at that. If you get shot on 111, you got to go to the west side in an ambulance. Through traffic, the point of your survival is Zot. But that was a half a penny. Now, Jesse Jackson was behind that. You know, let's get rid of the spot like that. So he went on his little pickaninny role, man, picking out black leaders that was against the establishment. You see, everybody thought we was getting the Olympics coming on, and the black land was a gold mine. And there was people sitting in there saying 70% black workers coming in here. They weren't having that. People saying we're going to hold on this black land for black developers. They wasn't having that. You know, at that time, we were doing the housing boom, so everybody got to make the black neighborhood. Well, everybody want to come in the black neighborhood. Let's make it white again. Now we got to check all these prices up and move everybody out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now everybody's sitting on these booming, bust housing spots. Now you got to move the Section 8 people in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got Philip Jackson destroy the projects. Now you got to move the projects back in all these little low area kids. Now you got crime up. Yeah, 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 yeah. But this is all just Jackson's doing. You see, his whole goal was to come in and stabilize and destroy the black community. You know, I started my campaign back in 2008. You know, 2008, right after Obama got elected for office, let everybody know what's really going on with the Democratic Party, because I ain't going to front. I rode with Obama presidential campaign because I was down with a senatorial campaign because the Democratic Party told him, fuck you. Barack Obama got dissed by Danny Davis, Jesse Jackson, Bobby Rush. They all went for the white guy. You know, the only reason people say, everybody say, this is a funny thing, Charlie. Everybody want to say it was a conspiracy to put Barack Obama in. Nah, the white man had it in, the Jews. Nah, nah, nah. It was a fucking fluke. People need to be real. People need to be real now. No disrespect to Judy Bada Pinker. No disrespect to Judy Bada Pinker. Barack Obama, the Tillmans beat the Democratic machine to get Barack Obama the Democratic nomination. That's true. But The candidate Barack Obama was going to go against Jack Ryan was a hell of a ass candidate. He would have beat Barack Obama because down lower 80 was not going to roll with upper 80 black man. But Judy Barr, you know, that's my girl. You know, on the old, the marriage situation, let me go my man's file, divorce record. We can't have nobody like that because we'll be the pure party. Dumps him out and give us Allen Keys. Barack Obama beat Allen Keys. He became sick because, you know, he ain't no conspiracy. He beat Allen Keys. He walked in. He walked in. You know, and you want to go why he's president? All because of New Hampshire. If the Clintons did not steal, if they didn't steal New Hampshire, and if Dennis Kucinich would have kept his lawsuit, you'd have found out. If the Clintons did not steal New Hampshire, Barack Obama would not be president. The iron my shirt. Ooh, I found my voice. Ooh, we got to win. He's got the big momentum. If they did not allow Barack Obama to sit there on national TV in the midst of defeat and say, yes, we can, he will not be president. All little quirks in history. There was no grand scheme to push the cats in. It was flat-out missteps. You know, flat-out missteps. But I just said to go back to the Jesse Jackson spot. 30 months, yeah, because he got to go in protective custody because the real deal. And since you've been in Chicago with the Blagojevich deal, he was the so-called buyer. All of a sudden, he can't speak Farsi, the little Indian language, but let's be real. Jesse Jackson sent Nyack, or Nyan, whatever the guy named, to talk to Rob Blagojevich. Jesse knows Nyack has been investigated by the feds. Nyack is a high campaign attributed Barack to Jesse Jackson. Now I got indicted for scheming money from the Social Security spot. Did that money go to Jesse Jackson campaign? It had to. He was a big fundamental spot, but he sent that guy to Barack Obama. But see, what I'm saying is Jesse, that type of guy to send dirty people to you so you get dirtied up. You know, let me go on your boy. That's how I go. Let me go on your boy who I was playing earlier, Bobby Rush. It's all of a sudden a coincidence about that Bobby Rush gets sick the day that Danny Davidson, Donnie Trotter goes over with Prince Ezreal to Zimbabwe. You know, I got sick all of a sudden. See, people forget to realize that back in the day, Bobby Rush got sick all of a sudden at the last Black Panther meeting. Nobody can find him back then, but I'm just saying. The reason why the Black community is where it is, real talk, the reason why the Black community is where it is because of the leaders we fall behind and the damage that they do. You know, name one time in my adult elective years have I heard any Black congressman inform me of any of the dealings that are going on in Congress. Hey, I'd like to know what's going on in Egypt. I'd like to know what's our worldview. I'd like to know what's going on. You ain't gonna come and tell me, oop, I done got y'all wires for schools. I mean, the white Tea Parties and the Latino community, they come back and tell the people what the issues are. We're purposely being sandbagged into the Democratic Party reason why they're doing it. You see, that's why I'm on a really war. You know, my whole deal to the Republican Party is because it's the party of the people, it's the party of the revolution that starts, that freed the slaves. It's the party of General Grant, the greatest president that we ever had. You feel where I'm coming from? It's the party of that party. And it's a war that I'm on. Like I told you earlier, Republicans are racist, like Democrats are racist. The views, the racial laws and disparity and the mental slavery, I ain't going to say mental, almost the physical slavery that they get Blacks in is almost atrocious if they don't even really sleep walking with their pajamas on. But yet, Here in Illinois, they ain't let the Black there's a Black congressman running down there. They won't let us speak on the state fair. I run into 11 ward committee men saying Blacks got to bow down. You know, I understand the fear that the Republican Party have of African Americans joining in because right now the party ain't doing nothing. The party is dead. And yet the only way the party breathe life is to play African American politics because the city is Black. How can the city be all Black? You ain't got no Black representatives in your state committee. You know, and most of all your city board committee men are working for the Democratic Party. I mean, how? How are you going to not even run in as an African-American community? Then you have some old Star Search-ass committee. You know, and then we have Black candidates. You know, it ain't about the money. I'm going to book sign. They might not like to see me coming in there. Because, you know, it ain't about the money. You know, it ain't about the money. I tell them, we don't need your money. That's what Martin Luther King Republicans, I'm like, you know, we don't need your money. We got issues that the Black community have. I mean, the Republican Party won't even have a Black issues. Here we got this GOP Grand Opportunity Project, but yet, you know what I'm saying? They ain't putting nothing in it. Like, this ain't me shitting on the party. You know, this is me because I got a lot of my MLK Republican people listening in because they get shitted on for being Republicans. You know, right now is the greatest opportunity that African Americans have right now to get power back and restore power. Democrats and even only elect one African-American statewide. We ain't got no qualified controllers. We ain't got no qualified, lieutenant governors. We ain't got no qualified state treasurers. Yeah, we do. We had one guy want to run. He said, sit down, little boy. You ain't running. We only need one Black. It's always been that way. Lower 80s only going to vote for one African-American. That's going to be Jesse White. He's the only Black that can ever win statewide. They only can give us one. And for years, they've only been giving us one, no matter how many. I mean, that's how we got Dan Rutherford. I mean, Robin Kelly can't win. I mean, what the hell? We got Judy Barr again over the other Black guy here in Black Cook County. No, because the white guy said, told the Black Democrats, no, we're not backing your people. You see, so, you know what I'm saying? It's like a war, Charles. And because there's a place I would like to leave my grandkids. Not no race, Black here, Black there, white here. No. It's about I feel that Black should be in charge of Black affairs, and Black should be over the outcome of Black community. And that's what I believe. So when I say Black, it's not, I'm not trying to paint, you know, the party Black. Or trying to say put a Black overseer like the Democrats with their Black overseers. But I'm just saying the only way that African Americans here in America, not only in America but in Chicago, is to show our power, just like all the other races, like the Latinos, like the Asians, like the Italians, like the Irish, everybody are catered to but the African Americans because we just decide not to go one way. And that's my spot. I didn't mean to run on that spot like that. So you can just jump anywhere and throw for the next 14 minutes. My fault, Charles. I just went on for a rant there.
Yes, you did. Well, you were talking about Jesse, and you played the clip from Cass, and the one point that I did mention was that I'm not so concerned about how many years he got, because judges tend to, whether we like it or not, have discretion, and they're able to say, well, I'm angry, I'm going to give him a little more time, especially when you don't have the jury trial. But what is interesting is the fact that how many of us, if we get caught and sentenced, and we're being sentenced for breaking whatever law, can say, you know, I'm sorry I did what I did. I know I'm being sentenced, but I don't want to go to jail until, you know, June next year. And I want to go here, and I know you're sentencing my wife as well. I'm going to need her to wait until I get out of jail before I go. So it wasn't the length of the sentence. That's the part that was interesting.
Right. Right. That's very interesting. That shows privilege.
Right. And then Sandy says, you know, who's going to take care of my kids? You know, she's crying. She said, who's going to take care of my kids? And so the judge is like, well, there's lots of people in jail that have kids. Right. But then you still separated them so they didn't have to go to jail. So think about it. Jesse's not reporting to jail till November. He's doing 30 months. Right. Early as he can get out is what, like 27 months or something. And November is already 3.5 months from now. So she already knows that the earliest she can go to jail is like 31 months from now. That makes no sense.
That's torture. That's torture. That's torture. And here's the real deal. It's because if it's bipolar mental disorder, he don't want to take the humiliation of hearing what everybody has to say. He wants to go far, far away, not to deal
far
with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And how about this? Because he's crazy, he's a maniac, and his family always known that. Yeah, she did it. Yeah, she pushed him, and that's why they're trying to blame her, and that's why she got the stiff time, and that's why she got to do 365 days. And, you know, women are cell block H. But the point I'm saying is, I don't care, homie. You're going to go to jail first. Have your woman have the taste of freedom. And then when you come out, she got to go in. Dude, 365 days ain't nothing. You know, November to the next door, I mean, you got to tap enough. And he want to go saying, oh, my, that was just mean. That's mean. And that's a punishment psychologically with the government is placing on Sandy. And when I mean cruel and unusual, that's cruel. It is unusual because people go to jail every day for dope. I know people on the block every day. Kids that go, they get DCFS, yeah, I'm sorry. That's just it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
There's no way, yeah, you don't get the I got kids, so I don't want to go yet. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, and hold on. The judge is taking the fact that you got other people that can watch out for the kids that's qualified.
Right, and they got 20, right?
Right, so I'm just saying, but it's called witness protection, homie. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a bunch of Indians looking for Jesse right now because Nyack is in jail, and there's a whole bunch of Indians. That was depending on the money that he was shaking down here in America. Because from my understanding, he clicked them in Jesse so he can get a be able to get some lights for a community in his country down there. And so people are sending money up here. He's sending money back there for the fucking country. You know, not to say he's clicked in with the mob and the Nyack cat, and now the money stopped. Jesse, he hide. You know, and that's why everybody, watch the media, watch the papers. Everybody's going to jail. It's going to be a strange election during this congressional time because right after everybody get their signatures, right after, that's when everything's going to click. And then everybody's going to win after they get indicted. It's going to be one of those where it's going to be a very, very, very strange election because not only is Barack slamming the hammer down because, like I said, 10 minutes, because the strangest thing happened when they moved Patrick Fitzgerald out of Chicago, that's when the people came on Jesse Jackson because there was no crime for Blagojevich because the cell didn't go down, but yet that's what you charge him for. And everybody knows it's Jesse, so they got him on some old campaign finance. They knew he was coming for him. He turned himself in. Read the paper. They said, just poking into his stuff. He turned himself in. And, you know, so they go back, you know,
So by him knowing when Patrick Fitzgerald got clipped off, he said he coming at you. When he coming at you, what he do? He turn himself in because he's already plugged in. It's just like all you do is follow the man's words. You see, that's what I mean by what he has done to the city of Chicago, especially Black Chicago, is atrocious. And he places puppet politicians in these positions so they can rob, rape, and pillage the community. Now we got a train track coming to the Black community by Amtrak, and so a lot of Black people have to lose their land they've been having for years. And not talking about that, now we got the EPA going to bring all this smoke and toxins through the whole community. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, you got over there southeast side over Sandy there, you're after the lake, spots where the SAs and the homeboys can't play no more because they done chopped that off. You know, they got an X game ramp over there, man. You know, I don't, you know, I'm Black and I hang out with brown folks, but I don't see us on no bikes and skateboards flipping, you know, trying to kill ourselves like that. They got this big old X-ball ramp over there, getting ready for a whole brand new community. You know, ready for a whole brand new community. They already blocking it off where they can't, for years and years and years, they've been living there for years. Now they can't even go over there. So I'm not saying about regentrification, everybody should go in the neighborhood, just that these politicians have put us in a position that we have no power. With a Black Democratic.
Yeah, but we keep voting for them, and we keep fighting. Instead of fighting for the power we're supposed to have, we keep fighting each other.
Yeah, I know. Listen, Charles, there are no alternatives, homie. It's just me and you. There ain't no alternatives. Seriously. That's why
alternatives, they just don't want to listen to them.
No, anybody listen, it's like this. Let's be real. Do you think somebody in the second district going to listen to Lenny McAllister?
No.
Be real. Right. So it's about what you bring it up. Let me go here. You think somebody in the first district is going to listen to Fred Collins? No. You see?
Probably not.
It's weird. No, because it's what you, if you're not from,
well,
if you're not
well,
from.
You know what? I take that back. At some point, there's got to be a breaking point where they get tired of Donnie and Jesse et al. Getting arrested,
get like
going to jail, and doing nothing. So at some point, you just got to say, okay, whoever the other guy is.
Well,
it's not like Lenny
well,
has a bad They could listen to Lenny if Lenny would, you know, tweak his message.
Well, listen, that's what
it's different.
That's what they've done. Jesse Jackson said you can get better than Mel Reynolds. They picked him. Bobby Rush said you get better than Charlie Hayes. They picked him. You know? Everybody get it. Always somebody, man, better than him. It be that way. But when you don't put up a strong enough alternative to say, listen to me, then how can I listen to somebody that don't even exist? You know what
okay,
I mean?
So why wouldn't the people in the second district listen to Lenny McAllister?
Because Lenny does not sound and look like them. Let's call Get Like Me. The game's called Get Like Me. Get Like Me. You're only going to vote for somebody that I can feel comfortable in going and talking to. Let me get the George Bush test. Somebody I can sit down and have a beer with.
Beer with, okay. So do I look like and sound like them?
Listen, in Jesse Jackson's mind, because what his father does, then the people that struggle feel that he struggles like us. Let's go to the Black
right.
Panther. You go to the Black Panther days, they understand the struggle, so they get down like us. I ain't going to go that Bobby, Danny Davis pick cotton, but a nigga pick cotton. He was down here watching, so he understand the struggle. We know that how the game, because we know how they going to do us, and we at least got somebody that's going to stop doing what they're doing to us, because they're doing it to us. Being
okay,
somebody on the other
so
side,
so they think that way, and I'm Lenny or whoever's running against them. Can I just say, yeah, but, you know, I'm a working man like you. Last time I checked, Jesse went to law school.
Well, how about this?
How is he like you and I'm not like you?
Well, let's go like this. Paul Williams, I think his name was.
McKinley.
Who got the nomination in second district, beat Lenny because
yep,
why?
Paul McKinley.
Why?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
No, I'm saying.
And obviously you're not wrong because it happened.
Right. They chose Paul McKinley because the people said, man, you're not like us. And they went to the extreme alternative. They're going to come in front. Not even over Dr. Eric Wallace, who ran for Senate.
Right.
I'm just saying. He's not Lenny McAllister, but he's qualified, and he's been in the party long enough. Will you think the state central committee and the committee man to back him? Point I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But no, they realized, nope, we got it. If you're going to fight, It, man, listen, it's like this. And I don't know if you like kung fu movies. It's like, let's go boxing. It's like when you A, take Buster Douglas over Mike Tyson, even though Buster Douglas beat Mike Tyson. Nigga go Mike Tyson all day long. Fuck it. He can fight. You know what I'm saying? He can fight. You want somebody that can fight. Lose or not, you see out there fighting. Fighting. Not repeating. Not repeating. Or giving a sound bite. Let me give you an example. I went to the Dan Rutherford event the other day. Anything shit like that. And what gives me everybody a sound bite, it's about pocketbook issues, dabba dabba dabba. They're like, nah, this is why Dan Rutherford is going to win. Because the powers of City Hall in Springfield do not like Pat Quinn for cutting a check. The lower 80s do not like Daly. Brady blew it because he didn't come back to the black community who helped get him elected. Dan Rutherford won state treasurer. What's going to kill Dan Rutherford is the same mistake that killed Brady by ignoring the black community. It goes down like that. See,
hey, what about Dillard?
Why? Because it's Kurt Dillard? Dillard ain't got a chance. He's in DuPage. He does not relate to the people. Brady has to look, and Brady ain't scared to walk in the spot. Dan Rutherford, because he won Cook County. And to win statewide, you got to win Cook County. Now, people ain't looking at that, looking at money. No. Blacks voted for Dan Rutherford last time. That's how he won. See, people going on hope. Now, look at numbers.
So explain this to me. Maybe you understand it better than me. Explain to me how blacks voted for Dan Rutherford, but you just said that second congressional district people wouldn't listen to Lenny McAllister.
This is how black vote for Dan Rutherford. I'm the war committeeman. I'm going to tell my people we're not voting for that guy right there. Don't vote for him. We're not going to vote. Let's say this. We're not going to vote for Robin Kelly. All right? Here's my palm ticket. Vote for everybody on this ticket. Skip over that person. The other person wins like that. Or the war committee said we don't like Robin Kelly so much that by not even putting Dan Rutherford literature out there, you endorse Dan Rutherford. Or, because there's no Judy Bada Pinker literature in the black community, but they have over Judy Bada Pinker. Because the war committee said we're not going with that person. We're not going with that person. That person ain't nothing. They talk down to that person where the other person have an alternative to vote for the other person. Vote manipulation, homie. You know what I'm saying? That's how it come. And you only vote for what you like and who will go down and fight for you. You got to have like my man Gangstar said, you got to have a voice. You see, this is like bringing a knife to a gunfight. You know what I'm saying? And Republicans bring knives to gunfights. They're scared of black people. They're scared of black people. That's all. That's why I mess with them. You know, telling me to bow down. Homie, nah. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is this, because my whole point is to show black Chicago, black Cook County, black Illinois, and white Republicans that, no, we would not be taken for granted. We are here, and we are viable. And we are to be catered to and listened to. You know what I'm saying?
We need to get the black Democrats to realize that they already are being taken for granted.
And listen, this election is going to show it because their leaders are gone. They're all being indicted. They're all going to jail. You know. But anyway, I got 41 seconds out of here. Listen, Charles, I'm going to call you tomorrow. We're going to finish the conversation. Everybody, this is Jimmy the Underground Radio Network. Good night, and may your God be with you. Thank you, Charles.
Yeah.